Starting a new business is always fraught with peril, and few businesses are more perilous than the record business. Berry Gordy was more experienced than some when he launched Tamla and Motown in 1959, but it took him a while to develop his golden touch. Roaming through the recent box set of Motown singles from 1959 to 1961, rock historian Ed Ward salutes some of the artists that never quite made it there.
The Motor City, that's the place I'm singing of. Hey, hey, the Motor City, that's the place I'm singing of. Well, I've traveled around from town to town. That is where I met my love. They say down.
When Berry Gordy started Motown and Tamla Records in 1959, he must have realized he was living on borrowed time. As with any record company, the first imperative was having a hit as soon as possible before the money ran out. After that, you had to get paid for it, but first you had to have a hit. By the end of the year, Barrett Strong had brought the new company a nice paycheck with Money, That's What I Want, which is a good thing because chronologically, this is the next record in the catalog. Cool and Crazy was by Nick and the Jaguars, a Pontiac, Michigan-based surf instrumental band, and as far as I know, represents the only surf record released on Tamla or Motown. With a stable of artists starting to grow, and hits by Barrett Strong and the Miracles already happening, Gordy looked to an old friend to become his next star.
Well, he's a fine young, a healthy man.
Mabel John's brother, Little Willie John, was already becoming a star, but any savvy Detroiter knew that his little sister also had what it took, and Berry Gordy was no exception. He knew her from when she'd worked in his family's funeral home. Mabel cut a number of records for Motown, most of which were excellent, but she'd have to wait a few more years before seeing success on its southern rival, Stax. The sort of funkiness that Stax produced, though, wasn't popular with the Motown brass, which isn't to say that Gordy didn't try to hit the blues market at first.
What makes you love him? I do the very best I can to make you happy. But you are in love with some no good man. You really don't need him. No. What makes you love him instead of me?
Singin' Sammy Ward, what a name, was from Alabama and sang gospel when he first arrived in the Motor City, but he soon started playing the clubs, which is where Gordy found him. But northern audiences didn't go for blues as much as southern ones did, and Motown was still a regional force, so Singin' Sammy, who was also, let's face it, no Bobby Bland, fell by the wayside. One thing northern audiences were buying, though, was groups, and this is an area Motown excelled at. In the early days, alongside the Miracles, there were two groups the company had its hopes pinned on. The Contours were rough and energetic, and would take 4 years to come up with a record that would sell. But the big mystery was why the Satin Tones couldn't score with any of their records.
Don't go, my beloved. Don't go, my beloved. I love you so.
James Ellis was the equal of other singers who were doing well, and the group's vocal arrangements were also right on the mark. But for whatever reason, they never hit. Perhaps a girl group would be a good idea. That was something that was really doing well at the time. Fortunately, the Marvelettes would soon come along with Please Mr. Postman. Clearly, the group wailing I Want a Guy was never going to make it with a lead singer like that. But Gordy had his eyes on them, and though it would take them another 3 or 4 years, the Supremes would eventually do okay by Motown, too.
Ed Ward lives in Berlin. He reviewed the complete Motown singles, Volume 1, 1959-61, on Hippo Select.